What we're going to do tonight, again, there won't be a PowerPoint tonight because we're going to continue our study through the book of Luke and our evangelism study that we're doing during the in-home studies once a month. And I want to say a few things about these studies. A lot of you don't come to the studies, and that's okay because, like we've been saying, the studies aren't geared towards the members here. They're geared towards the people outside that know nothing about the Bible that need to grow in their faith. But I want to give you some updates on what's been going on. Over the past couple months, we're now on our fifth study that we're coming up on. So we've been through four. And over the past couple months, we've seen a few people come over and over and over again, which is the point. That means they're interested. It means they're wanting to come back. And continually what I'm doing is I'm gauging where they are, trying to see where they are in the process. I know Lala's been working with Jimmy. Conrad, who's sitting back here, has been bringing Jimmy. And Jimmy is just a great, great prospect. He is coming right along. Lala's been talking with him, I know, about some extra things as well, especially Romans 6 and everything. That's great. That's great. So they're starting a class in Conrad's home on top of what's going on during these studies. And he actually, Jimmy was here this morning, and they brought another friend as well. And so what's supposed to be happening is starting to happen. You see how Conrad brought Jimmy. Jimmy's interested, starting to have another study. They brought another friend. And Lillian's been bringing Pat. Now, Pat wasn't at the last study because she's out of town, but hopefully be at the next study. And we've had other various visitors, you know, through and through, but those two have kind of been the ones that have been there regularly. And that's great. And so keep praying for those prospects and keep praying that they could grow. Now, one thing that I want to continue to mention, just because we're now going to be five lessons in doesn't mean that people can't start coming, all right? These lessons are geared to be individual lessons, which means that people can come whenever and still learn what they need to learn. If they want to start from the beginning, again, I'm available, VR, Lalo Express, they can teach this material, they want to teach this material. There's people available to teach and start from the beginning so that they don't miss out, and we can do that once a week, a couple times a week, whatever it is. The point is, keep inviting. Keep reaching out to people. The cards are still back there. Keep using those. I haven't had to refill them in a while, which means we're not passing them out. So keep passing them out, and let's keep inviting, because already in the short few months we've been doing this study, we've seen a few good prospects pop up, and who knows what will happen from those. And so keep up the good work. Keep inviting, and the next one, again, will be the sixth. Now, we're going over it tonight because next week is going to be our singing. And then the next week, I'm going to be preaching, let's see, your Sunday morning at Santa Clara. Lala's preaching Sunday morning at Santa Clara, so I'll be here, and then we're flopping. So I'm going to Santa Clara to preach Sunday night, and Lala will preach here Sunday night on September 1st. And then the study, I think, is that next Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, so or the one after that. But I wanted to give us enough time to go over the study. So again, you can go out and turn and tell your friends and family members and invite them and say, here's what we're going over. I think it would be beneficial to you. And also, I've heard from the members, just I've been trying to get some feedback, that going over the study beforehand has helped you come a little bit more prepared to maybe give some input during the class and during the study as well. So, and again, although these studies aren't geared towards the people here, in the at-home setting, there's still a lot we can take from these as mature Christians, I think. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 5 today. And really where we've come from, just as a reminder, we started in the book of Ecclesiastes, and we've looked at kind of Solomon's life journey to find meaning of life, remember? And how life was just nothing. And he was searching for something to fulfill this nothingness of life. And in chapter 2 in Ecclesiastes, he started saying, I've built for myself homes and vineyards and pools. I have all the money and all the wealth in the world. I have all the cattle that I could ask for. I have women. We know that he had 1,000 women, right? And at the very end of that, he said, whatever my eyes wanted, whatever my heart wanted, I took it. I didn't withhold anything from him. And it was still nothing. It was still vanity. And at the conclusion of the book, he said, this is my conclusion on the matter, fear God, keep his commandments. And so what we did was we baited the hook, and then we went to the book of Luke. And we looked at the very first four verses of Luke, remember how we looked at, we can trust what Luke is saying. Luke had nothing to gain personally from writing his account of Jesus Christ. He was not going to try to be on the New York Times bestseller list. He wasn't going to sign a multi-million dollar contract to write book after book after book. He was trying to just give an accurate account of the life of Jesus, and we could trust him because he talked to eyewitnesses, and we looked at how he would go to Mary, and he went to other people, and again, we'll look at tonight. Who do you think he talked to tonight during these stories? And that's what I want us to think about. How can we trust what Luke is saying? And then we went to last month, we talked about how Jesus was tempted. How Jesus was a man just like we were. He was tempted. He overcame those temptations, not with superpowers, but as a man would. And he taught us how to identify temptations and how to overcome those temptations. Tonight we're going to look at two different people. We're going to look at a fisherman and a leper. And that's the title of the study tonight, a fisherman and a leper. There won't be a PowerPoint because, again, there's not going to be a PowerPoint at the at-home Bible study. And so I invite you just to follow along from the text. We're going to make very simple, basic applications on some points. And then the lesson will be yours. But what we started to do, and what I hope that you've noticed is we're starting to try to build trust in a couple different things. We're starting to try to build trust not only in what the scriptures say, that you can read something in the Bible and know that you can trust what's in the Bible. We did that looking at Luke and why we can trust Luke. But also we can trust Jesus. That when Jesus says something, we can trust what he says. We can trust that he'll hold true to his promises. We can trust that he is who he says he is. And we've noticed that over the past couple weeks, that we're trying to build trust. And remember what Mike specifically, now this is a little background information, we're not going to go over this at the at-home study, but remember what Mike said are the three main points to lead someone to give their life to Christ. They have to be convicted in their mind. They have to trust, have the trust in their hearts, and they have to surrender their will, which means they have to know in their mind what is being said is true. They have to trust in their hearts that this is truth, and they have to eventually surrender their will to live by the will of God. And so what we're trying to do, the first class was trying to get in their minds, I need God in my life, that after all the nothingness of life, I need God. That was Solomon's conclusion, that's my conclusion. But how can I trust God? And so what we're doing is we're trying to build that trust, that I can trust Jesus, I can trust God. He was a man, but he overcame temptation. He was God, but he came down here as man. And so you see the progress we're trying to make here. And we're going to build on that this week and in next month's study. Let's go ahead and read the first part of tonight's topic in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Well, actually, we're going to pick up after where Kennedy read. Kennedy read verses 1 through 4 where he went into the boats and he started teaching the multitudes. Remember, and after he had finished teaching, he looked at Peter and he said, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. And that's where we left off in verse 4. So let's pick up in verse 5. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and they followed him. So here's a little background. You have Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And they're all out fishing. And as Jesus is finishing up his... actually, they were done fishing. They were cleaning their nets. They were going to go in for the day. They had been fishing all night and caught nothing, as we see in the text. And Jesus comes to them and he says, I'm going to get in your boat. We're going to go out here and I'm going to use this as my platform to teach. And Jesus teaches to the multitudes, and when he's done teaching, he looks at Peter, and he says, "Put out into the deep water for a catch." Now, Peter here was a little reluctant, wasn't he? He said, "Master, we've worked all night. We've caught nothing." How many of you have ever worked a night shift? How many of you are ready to go home after that shift? I mean, you work a day shift, you're ready to go home at the end of your shift, right? Let alone working through the night. Peter said, "Listen, we've been out here all night. Lord, we haven't caught anything." And he didn't want to. They were cleaning their nets. They were just this close to going home, right? Jesus says, "Throw them out again." But he decided, nevertheless, to humor Jesus. I think it's interesting. He says, we've been out all night and we have not caught anything. He says, "Nevertheless, Lord, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." Or in other words, because you said so, because you asked me, I'll do it just because you said so. So he was reluctant here. Did he trust Jesus? No, not really. Right? We've been at this all night. Not going to catch a thing, but I'll do it. I'll show you, Lord. Right? I'll show you that we've been doing this and you don't know what we're the fishermen. We're the professionals. We know better, but I'll show you. I'll just go ahead and show you that there's nothing out here to be caught. Now, what followed next was extraordinary. The text says a great quantity of fish were gathered in the nets and they began to break. In fact, they had to call their partners over in another boat to come and to get fish on their boat, where both boats began to sink because there was just so many fish. What do you think Peter was thinking at that moment? The person who just said, "We've just been out here all night. Fine, we'll do it. We'll do it just because you said so." Imagine his eyes at that moment looking at these fish. Imagine how humble Peter was at that moment. And at that moment, a profound sense of unworthiness overwhelmed him. He fell prostrate and pleaded, "Depart from me. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." It's at that moment that he realized, I think, exactly who he was dealing with. That he didn't have the trust that Jesus, that he should have in the Lord. But with that one miracle, Jesus made him fall on his knees, and he was overcome with unworthiness. It kind of reminds us of Isaiah in Isaiah 6, chapter 6 and verse 5, where Isaiah said, "Depart from me, Lord. I am unworthy." Right? What we need to understand, and we looked at this a little bit last month, is Jesus' miracles always had a purpose. There was always a kingdom purpose we described last week, where when Jesus performed a miracle, he was trying to further his Father's kingdom. And in this case, it was to prepare Peter for his life's work. Think about it here for a moment. At this moment, you know, we think of Peter and we think of someone who is the rock that the Lord built his church on, right? He is the apostle from Acts on that just stood firm for the Lord. And he wasn't perfect, but when we think of Peter, we think of this grandiose man that took the Lord's kingdom and just shot it forward from the book of Acts on. But here, this is the beginning of it all. This is the beginning where he was a man who was humbled by one of Jesus' miracles. When you look at Peter's development in the book, or in the Gospels, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he has three areas of development. The first one is he decided to follow the teaching of Jesus as a disciple. We see that when he was in the boat, he saw the Lord come wanting to teach, and he sat in his boat and listened to Jesus' teaching, right? That's where many people are today. Many people today are, "I know who Jesus is, and I will listen to his teachings." But what Jesus was doing was preparing Peter for something more. Not just to be a listener. Not just to be someone who wanted to listen to the teachings of Jesus. Instead, what Jesus was doing was he was preparing Peter to leave everything, to leave the fishing business behind and receive something higher and fulfill a higher calling. And that was the second stage. But Jesus also decided to take it one further. Not only was he going to leave his business behind and follow Jesus, he was going to become one of the 12 apostles. Peter didn't know any of this yet, but Jesus did. Jesus here is preparing Peter to go on to the second and soon thereafter the third stage when Jesus performs his miracles. And think about Peter for a second. With a family to feed, would this personable and outspoken disciple have the faith to leave his established career here and his established family as a fisherman in this small town? The miracle was, in essence, a clear message from Jesus. See, Peter doubted, didn't he? Peter didn't trust Jesus. He doubted Jesus. He said, "We've been out all night, Jesus. We're not going to catch anything, but we'll do it just because you asked us to." But at that moment, with that miracle, with those fish coming up, filling up two boats, causing two boats to almost sink because there's so many fish, Jesus was sending a very clear message of, "Don't ever doubt me, Peter. I can put fish in your nets better than you've ever dreamed. I am the Lord. I am the Messiah. I am Jesus Christ." Let me ask this question. Do you think the miracle produced the desired effect that Jesus wanted? Jesus challenged his pupil, "Do not fear, Peter. From now on, I will make you fishers of men." At that moment, I think Peter realized what he had to do. Because it says there, the result was when they had brought in their boats to land. What did they do? They left everything. They left, I'm going to put emphasis on this next word, everything. Everything to follow Jesus. With this one simple miracle, Peter went from someone who didn't trust the Lord, someone who had to fall on his hands and knees, say, "Depart from me because I'm not worthy to be in your presence," to, "I'm going to leave my family. I'm going to leave my job, my career. I'm going to leave my friends. I'm going to leave everything I know because I'm going to follow you, Lord." Well, the second story, because it doesn't stop there. In verse 12, let's pick up in verse 12. It says there, "And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded." Here Luke, remember, is a medical doctor. And so he gives this diagnosis of a leprosy, or of a leper, and someone he describes as full of leprosy. No doubt this person was already starting to hear about the fame that Jesus had been getting, and he had searched Jesus out, as we see in verse 15, where it says, "However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." So people were starting to hear about who Jesus was, and they were starting to kind of flock to him because they wanted to hear his teachings and they wanted to be healed. Well, this man, full of leprosy, comes up and he says to him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, this is interesting that this comes right after the story of Peter. Because there's a difference in what Peter did and what this person did. Remember what we said at the beginning, that to have biblical faith, you must have three things: conviction of mind, trust of heart, and surrender of will. When we're talking about the trust of the heart of faith is the second component, which is trust. In order for trust to be well placed, there must be some rational basis here. Is the Lord trustworthy, in other words? Can we trust the Lord? In the case of Jesus and his promises, this revolves around two issues. If we can trust the Lord, we need to resolve two issues. One, is he able to help us? And two, is he willing to help us? You see the difference there? Many people, including Peter in the story just before this one of the leprosy, struggled with Jesus' ability to help us. Does that make sense? Peter said, "Lord..." After the Lord said, "Cast your nets in here for the catch," he said, "Lord, we've been out here all night." He didn't think the Lord was able to do this. Now, the difference here with the leper is he knew the Lord was able. He never questioned whether or not the Lord was able to save him or to heal him. But notice what his question was. Lord, if you are willing, if you are willing, you can make me clean. See, this man's problem rested on the Savior's willingness. Many people today have that same problem. Many people today might believe in Jesus. They might know that Jesus is able to do many things. They might believe in Jesus' power to save, but perhaps they lack the confidence that because of their long indulgence of sin or their past background of sin, Jesus would actually not be willing to grant full and complete pardon to them. How many of you have ever heard this before? I'm not good enough to be saved. Jesus would never want someone like me who came from this background, who's done X, Y, and Z. I would never be worthy. You see the difference there? Oh, I believe Jesus can save me. But I don't think I'm worthy of it. I don't think you would want somebody. Such a person might say to himself, I know he would forgive someone and take him to heaven, but given my own unworthiness, I'm not sure he would ever do it for me. I think Luke, writing these two stories side by side, encompasses everyone's inability to have faith in Jesus Christ. Because you have some people who aren't sure that Jesus is able to back up what he's talking about. And Luke says, oh, he's able. Look at this story of Peter. But is he willing? He's not willing to save me from my sins because I've been so bad. And Peter's saying, oh, he's willing. I'm sorry, Luke is saying, oh, he's willing. We have to remind ourselves that lepers in the first century Jewish world were reminded every day that they were outcasts. Brooke, some of you were talking to her the last at-home study about her trip to the Philippines. She went to a leper's colony in the Philippines. And I know some of you are from the Philippines and might have experienced this before, but she said that they are so secluded that when a child is born, they have two decisions. To keep the child with them, but they will get leprosy eventually, or to send them off into the normal world. How much of a reminder of that is, can you think of that? To know that we're outcasts here. Same is true of the New Testament world. When someone was diagnosed with leprosy, they were sent out of the village. In fact, there's another story in the book of Luke with 10 lepers. And you have 9 who are Jewish and 1 who's a Gentile. A lot of people just read through that and they say, well, there's 10 lepers. Well, guess what? Jewish people wanted nothing to do with Gentiles, but they were so outcast that they had banded together. But Jesus showed at this moment that although unclean, although outcast, although they were nobody in the world in that day and age, Jesus saw them for who they really were, children of God. And he was willing to clean them. This little episode here, and the point we want to make tonight, is this is not simply a matter of historical biography, but this is written for us. These stories are written so that we can understand and we can apply them to our lives. What did Jesus do for this leper? He did the unthinkable. He stretched out his hand and he touched him. And he said, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus can take a sinner, someone who is so saturated in sin, someone who, if sin was a physical disease, someone who would be an outcast because we wouldn't want to touch them to get the filth on us so that we might have sin in our lives. We would just throw them out to the curb. But Jesus outstretched his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately it was gone. Jesus can do the same thing with sin. Many people in today's world, many Christians, maybe some of us here tonight, have leprosy in our souls. We have spots all over our souls of sin, and the leprosy is eating us inside out. Is Jesus willing to cleanse even I, the worst of sinners? He is willing.
What is Jesus willing to do for each person, plagued not with the disease of the skin, but with the heart disease of the soul? Imagine for just a moment the warmth of the Savior's hands reaching out to you as he gently says, "I am willing, be cleansed of your sins." If we are able, notice that, if we are able. Because what we've looked at tonight is Jesus is able to cleanse and he is willing to cleanse. But if we are able to take this lesson to heart, and if we are able to see what Jesus is able to do and what he is willing to do, then our faith can begin to skyrocket. Because we will no longer be held back by the sins of this world and by the leprosy of our souls, but we will begin to soar even farther in God's kingdom. Just as Peter left everything to follow Jesus, because he knew that this was the Lord, that there's nothing more important in this world than his faith in Jesus Christ. If there's someone here tonight that needs to obey the gospel, if there's someone here tonight that has decided, or they've been studying, and they've been seeing over and over and over again in the scripture that Jesus is able to save us, he is willing, although he shouldn't be. Jesus has every right to outcast us. But if you've been studying and you've come to the realization that I need Jesus in my life, I need to leave everything behind and follow him. He's proved to me time and time again that he will be there for me. Now I need to be there for him. If you are willing to come forward, to let your request be made known, to be baptized, to be buried just as Jesus was buried, and to raise again in newness of life just as Jesus raised up from the dead, we want to do that for you. We want you to have that faith that Peter had. We want you to have that faith that the leper had, so that you can give your life to Christ and start living a life of faith for him. If there's anything we can do for you this evening, come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Sins and griefs to
Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we're so thankful for blessing us to be a part of this day, to come out, to be a part of the worship services that we have rendered unto you this day. We pray, Father, that you would continue to look down upon us and that our worship services that were offered to you, that they would be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Continue to follow, Father, to be with our efforts as we continue to go out and to evangelize those that we have come in contact with. Help us, Father, to rightfully, not only to rightfully divide our truth, but properly apply it and to properly instruct it in a way that those who have yet not obeyed thy truth might be able to understand those things that they need to do and accept thy Son as the Savior. Continue to forgive us of the many shortcomings in our life. We pray that you will continue to watch over us as we prepare to depart from this worship service. Continue to keep us in your care, for this will be our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.